Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are taking you up to 6:30 on your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps. Speaking of the Capitals, we will cover the Caps, the Wiz, the Commanders, and our Beltway Blitz in 1 hour right at 4 o'clock. That is when Notre Dame is playing Georgia today in the Sugar Bowl. College football playoff, fourth of four games in this quarterfinal round. One more spot remains in the collegiate Final Four. College football, and the winner of tonight's game between the Irish and the Bulldogs, a 12-1 Notre Dame team, the 7th seed, an 11-2 Georgia team, the 2 seed, without its starting quarterback Carson Beck, is going to be on to the semis. That game kicks off, as I mentioned, in about 1 hour. So as a consumer, I got to say, the 4 o'clock start time is a real bummer and stinks, but I totally understand why the ADs for both teams requested it. Notre Dame and Georgia kind of came forward and said, listen, we're already playing this coming weekend on short rest because of the Monday game. We all know that moving the game was the correct thing to do.
Yeah.
Very obvious, very easy. No one's suggesting otherwise after the tragedy in New Orleans. But their point was, if we play at 4, we can get out of there at a reasonable hour. Our guys can get in their beds and have some sleep. And then by Tuesday afternoon, they're back at the facility getting ready. As opposed to if you play this game at 8:30,
in prime time, you don't get home until, you know, 2 p.m. the next day.
You've lost the whole day, and it's basically Wednesday before guys are coming back to life. And so it buys you almost a full extra day by playing the game several hours earlier. So totally get that. And Notre Dame, by the way, believe it or not, is a 1.5-point favorite over Georgia.
Yeah, you would have had to do a lot of convincing to explain that to me, but I get it now, right, with the backup quarterback. Now, it's not as if this is some walk-on number off the street. He was probably a 5-star on his own right, but you just don't have the data points or the experience of a guy that has been in it and done it at a high level for a long time in Beck.
Washington is building a foundation for success on and off the field. It's time for you to think about your future as well. The sponsor of our show will help. That's the law firm of Condori and Murat. They'll help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. I was actually texting with Wasim, one of our buddies from Condori and Murad, who helped set up our road trip this year. We went to a road game and had ourselves a blast in Cincinnati. Have you seen the road slate for the Commanders next year?
I have, yeah.
It's pretty damn good in terms of travel schedule goes. Like, if you're one of those fans like my wife is, where you pick a road game every year to go to, you're going to have a hard time deciding where you want to be next football season. The Commanders, among other road games next year, play in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium, which is a rare trip for them. It's one of the few NFL stadiums I've never been in. They are in Minneapolis at what is considered to be the best NFL stadium, taking on the Vikings next year. They're at Lambeau Field.
Lambeau, dude.
Which is my favorite road trip to make, and it's the best football experience. I'm just telling anybody listening that if you have not been to Lambeau, you should absolutely plan on going to that game if it's in a month where it's not going to be frigid.
Like, if you're a baseball fan, you already, right away, you know the names of the ballparks that you got to go see. You got to go to Fenway, you got to go to Wrigley, you probably got to go to Dodger Stadium, then some of the new ones, whether it's Pittsburgh, Baltimore, San Francisco, etc. As a football fan, that's the one. I'd like to see Arrowhead someday. I'd like to see a couple different places. Jerry Jones's, you know, big giant stupid stadium where they can't deal with forgot the sun. But I want to go to Lambeau. I want to go to the Rose Bowl for a game, and I want to go to Lambeau Field for a game. So that's interesting.
The other one is at LA, taking on the Chargers, and then the only one that's still TBD is they'll either be in Atlanta or in Tampa, depending on who doesn't win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Probably an Atlanta trip, which is not bad.
No.
Not like Tampa's. Bad either. That's where they opened the year. Could be their third trip there if they go there for the playoffs since week one of 2024.
I just want to go there and eat some concessions. You know, affordable concessions. It'll be like, it'll be so exciting.
To the Atlanta game?
Yeah.
And you just go buy your $2 chicken sandwich, your 50-cent bag of chips, your 50-cent soda.
Just like buy one and give it to somebody. You know what I mean? Just like, this is so luxurious.
I don't know if you know this, but their owner, Arthur Blank, is in the Ring of Honor.
That's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Well deserved.
Absolutely.
Well deserved.
But anyway, I texted Wasim. I'm like, dude, some good trips here.
Yeah, have you noticed? Thinking?
So what would get the Danny Ruye vote? Give me a drum roll on this, Darius. Obviously, there are the division games. Philly, Dallas, New York, whatever. But Green Bay and Lambeau. Arrowhead, man. Ever been to Arrowhead?
No.
Me either. Ever been and eaten barbecue in Kansas City? It's a pretty good time.
I'd be pretty good at that.
Minnesota, which doesn't sound silly until you
people
realize...
Sleep.
That is arguably the best stadium in the NFL. And selfishly, it's one of the few I got to check off the list. And we didn't really mention LA. We just brushed past it. But SoFi Stadium, kind of a nice little city.
Yeah, it's very nice, but
Chargers, not Rams. So Danny Ruye's choice for a road trip in 2025.
It's going to be a letdown. This is obvious. I mean, it's Lambeau. It's Lambeau.
You can wait till the end of this.
No, I mean, I don't even need it. It's Lambeau. It's Lambeau. The Kansas City would be tempting, but, you know, to watch them lose. Actually, Kansas City never covers, so it'd be awkwardly close. But to eat the barbecue and go to a place where champions live is going to be fun. But to me, it's Green Bay.
Have like, you voted? I mean, voted, I'm sure. Have you? I was going to say, have you voted for Lambeau before? Have you been to Lambeau before?
No.
Oh, then
that's,
you,
and that's my point, is I've never been. Just,
come on.
Yeah.
It is the best. What about, hear me out, Arrowhead Stadium? If it's the fall. See, I think time of year is going to be a factor here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these are going to be in December,
yep.
Late November.
That's inevitable.
Lambeau on December 9th, not that fun. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, but yeah, but.
But how fun is it?
It's going to be tough.
Arrowhead on like September 24th, better than Lambeau on December 5th. See what I'm saying?
I just, yeah, exactly so what you're saying.
And you know what's nice is Minnesota's always indoors.
So I would go, if I'm seating here, Green Bay 1, Minnesota 2.
Over Arrowhead.
Yeah. I'm not...
God, you're sleeping.
The stadium part is nice. I want to see it. I just want Juicy Lucy's. I want the burger that should be the national burger.
I could make you a Juicy Lucy.
You can't. Not like they do.
I respectfully, promise I could.
Respectfully. The bird is the eagle, right? Like, that should be one. Our second thing, where it's like, what else do you guys have, America? We should go, look, the cheese is right in the middle of the burger. It's incredible. It's a miracle.
I'll do L.A. I have a really
hot take.
I don't
want to go.
I'm not an L.A. guy.
L.A. stinks. You heard it here. Not awesome.
It's just not my thing.
No.
Now, I will say that I don't think I've stayed in the right places. Like, the last time I was in L.A., I was there for the All-Star festivities when the Dodgers were, when the All-Star game, rather, was at Dodger Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, downtown. I hated it. Where I was staying. I don't know where I was. People could ask questions. I don't know. I mean, I had more like run-ins where I was a near bystander to crimes. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't great for me.
Well,
and that is now my, like, not like you're my whole opinion on the city, but it's just like, I'm sorry that affects how I feel.
Yeah. Well, all the worst things about DC that people roll their eyes about, you know, like everybody in DC is like the rep or the accusation is, people are like, what do you do for a living? Which, by the way, is a reasonable question. It's like, how do you spend 50, 60, 70 hours a week?
Never been bothered by that question.
Yeah, everyone
don't
always
understand
gets
why people get hurt by that.
But the reason people don't like it in D.C. is because they think that the asker is then going, okay, do I need to get to know this person or not? And then they judge you based on it. That's the idea.
Right.
If you don't like that, welcome to Los Angeles. What do you do? I'm a producer. Like, that's all everyone's doing is they're doing social climbing. Everyone thinks that their stupid podcast or their stupid internet show is the most important thing in the world. Everything's triple vegan. There's more traffic than anywhere you can imagine. Nothing makes sense. You can't get around. No thanks. Just the hardest of passes.
Here's my rankings.
Yeah.
Road trip 2025. Grant and Danny on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming it's the perfect time of year at all places.
Assuming non-miserable temperature.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm going to narrowly go Packers over Chiefs against my better judgment.
Okay.
But I do love everything about Lambeau. So I'm going to say one. Arrowhead two, and it's basically a tie. Three, Minnesota. Four, Dallas. Five, L.A. You know what? No. Five, New York Giants.
Yeah.
Six, L.A. Seven, Philly. That's how I'm going to do it.
So I'm going to add Tampa into mine.
And I don't have the Atlanta or Tampa in there, right, just because it's not listed yet. But I will slot that in, actually, probably into the top four. Either way. I'm not as big on Atlanta as Tampa. I don't know. I'm not that much of an Atlanta guy. But Tampa would be higher on the list for sure.
For me, for old Randy Duyea, it's Green Bay 1, Minnesota 2, probably Tampa 3, to be honest with you.
It's a high bid on Tampa.
If we're in September and it's 104 down there, it's not as much fun. But I'm thinking about that like little winter reprieve where all of a sudden it's like you and me wearing shorts and a couple of Hawaiian shirts.
November 15th in Tampa?
Yeah, you could do a lot worse. I've never been. I want to see the stupid ship. And I want to hear the cannons go off and stuff like that.
Never been to Raymond James?
No.
How about that?
I've been to very few foosball stadiums. Okay.
Have you been to Jerry World?
No.
God, you got to go to Dallas.
I have no interest.
Let's go to Dallas.
It's last. No, 100% last.
But you know what you sleep on a little bit?
Huh.
It's not anything to do with the Cowboys or Cowboys Stadium or any of that stuff. It's like Texas, which I don't necessarily love in and of itself, like standalone. But it's like meat, and there's cool stuff. We could stay in Fort Worth, and there's like cows and... like cattle and bulls with horns and...
My official thought out response is...
Okay.
So Dallas is dead last. However many numbers I get to. I guess it's even ahead of Philly, which is gross. Because I'm good on Philly. Like, I did it again. I had to wash myself a few different times that we did Philly again. Then, New York's up high. So I forgot what numbers I'm going. But Kansas City would be in the middle. LA is second to last. I don't want to go to LA.
All I'm saying is it's a hell of a road schedule. We're gonna be all right. We got this. Let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. The Commanders are better off playing who in the opening round of the playoffs, the Rams or the Bucks? LA is going to sit starters if they lose and Tampa wins on Sunday against the Saints. Seattle beats the Rams. Then the Rams slide out of the three spot and Washington probably plays the Bucks. By the way, should Sean McVay be getting crushed for this? I haven't really heard enough people saying what I think, which is this is a bad decision for him. You're opting into potentially playing the Lions or Vikings. Like, worst case is the Vikings, because the Lions are so banged up defensively, maybe you can move the ball and score a bunch of points on them. But to choose to play one of those teams, essentially, over Washington is a hell of a choice. Those are 14-win teams.
Yeah, you obviously know your guys the best, right? So any decision with them in mind, like if his point is, we're so not rested, we're so beat up, anybody would be favored over us or we wouldn't match up well with Washington or any other team in the postseason. To give us the best chance to win, we'll be at home either way as the four or the five seed, right? No matter what. Excuse me, the three or the four seed, we're going to be at home no matter what. Someone's got to come to our building. I feel pretty comfortable with whoever it is. I would ask a couple of questions to follow up, like how sure are you? You know, the difference between maybe a Minnesota versus a Washington seems pretty substantial to me, but what do I know? But he's the guy that's got his troops in mind.
I wonder, is there anything to him wanting to play Detroit? I don't think there is. But do people realize the Lions defense is ranked 29th in the NFL right now?
It's not trending in a good way either.
No, they've had 15 injuries on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
They're completely falling apart defensively. They are 24th against the pass, 23rd against the run, and they are, they're 29th overall, they're 18th against the run, and 25th against the pass. They're 27th at getting to the quarterback. Aiden Hutchinson won't play in that opening round playoff game still as he tries to fight his way back. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on G&D. What's up, Chris? How are you, pal?
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
You, buddy.
And to you, sir.
For the sake of argument, I would choose Los Angeles, but is there any reason why you're not discussing Philadelphia? Because that's a very real possibility.
You're talking about from a playoff standpoint who they're going to play?
Yeah.
So the hypothetical is they handle their business and they get the sixth seed. If they beat Dallas, they're going to play the Bucks or the Rams.
Yeah, of course, you're right.
It's also very obvious that the Eagles, to me, are the team you'd like to play least of those three?
I don't know. I mean, I think that they held themselves in Philadelphia, and obviously we just beat them. And who knows what's going on with Jalen Hurts? But I don't want to, you know, derail the argument here. I think it's the Rams. If Washington takes care of business in Dallas, assuming they find out that the Rams are the team they're going to play, I think they do exactly what they did at the beginning of the season with Arizona. I think they take a flight directly to Los Angeles, do not pass go, do not return home, stay in Los Angeles and, you know, overcome the travel and all that stuff if they've planned this right. And I don't think Stafford is the mobile threat that Baker Mayfield is. I also don't think that their rushing game, while Kyron Williams is good, is as intimidating as what the Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay was basically manhandled Washington. That was our worst defeat of the season, in my opinion.
It was week one, though, in fairness. I mean, that is a different team.
It is, but I mean, like, if you of all the teams we lost to, that was the game where we were out of it from the get-go.
Correct.
So
true. I'm not saying he's wrong.
Right. It's either the beholder how much stock you put in that. For me, it's very little.
If that game happened in week 7, I don't think it would have gone that way. In fact, I know it wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's when Tampa was at their most beat up. But I think your point stands either way. That's not the same Washington team, right? And I think that's okay to say. Like, I know it counts on the record the same. It's the 2024 Washington 53. But come on. That was we're spoon-feeding Jaden Daniels. One read, get out of there, run away. There's not much going on in the passing game. They couldn't really run it. Defensively, they had no chance. They are better now in almost every area. They're still weak in a bunch, by the way. And Tampa, I think, could expose that. That's why I don't think there's any good matchup for you in the postseason. But you've leveled up here. There's no 7-9 Washington winning the worst division in the sport from a couple years ago.
Do you know what the narrative is on the Bucs? This is something you talk about all the time. You're like, oh, the Bucs can't run the ball. That's what people always just say casually.
That ain't right now.
They are the number 3 rushing team in the NFL this season. 5.2 yards per carry. My little guy that I loved in the draft, Bucky Irving.
That's a bad dude.
Badass, right? The Rams, you think of with Kyron Williams, was like a top 5 pick in fantasy, who scores all the touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, they're a great running team. They're 30th in rushing offense this year. So if one of your biggest concerns is Washington's ability to stop the run, Tampa runs it a whole lot better than the Rams do. Now, that is a concern for me. I care more about the explosives in the passing game. And I just think with 2 really good receivers, the Rams, Nacua and Kupp, and not 1, the Bucs, Evans, that's kind of where I'm weighing most of my, you know, jelly beans in the counter here.
The concern and bucket, yeah.
I say I'd rather play Tampa Bay. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
You too, buddy.
Just want to make a couple points. First of all, yeah, that first game, we got blasted. Although, again, the September games, particularly openers, they're basically preseason games in many instances. So one thing I'm most proud of about this 11-5 record to date is, aside from that game, every other loss has been a one-score loss. Now, granted, we got the garbage time score in Philly to close it, but the point is, this team has never been blown out this season, which is, I really think, a testament to how they never quit. And I think that's their number one thing, because their number one deficit to me is basically they can't defend good teams. All right? They can't. They can't either run or pass defend. All right? So when I look at the Rams versus Tampa, not only is there the revenge factor, you want to avenge the loss, but you mentioned it. They have Mike Evans, but they don't have Godwin. They don't have that second really lethal person like the Rams do or the Philadelphia Eagles do if we end up with them. And so I'll take my chances with the with the Bucs. Besides, Grant, every time we can beat them in the playoffs since they beat us in 99, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. Hey, he remembers that 99 game like I do at Raymond James Stadium.
Uh-huh.
When Washington had them beat 13-0. Brian Mitchell kick return. The party starts early, and then Sean King and a really anemic offense get a 14-13 win. They were so great that year because of their defense, if you remember. But Washington was up 13-0 slog of a game, and they got a big pass interference call on Leamont Evans, number 35 for Washington, that set them up for one of their scores. They win 14-13. And even still, Washington was kicking a field goal to win the game that, unfortunately, the snap and the hold and the procedure never got
We'll never know if it would have had a chance.
Now, ended up with Johnson and Conway scrambling around trying to toss the ball to each other as they're getting slung to the ground, which was a bummer. And that was the closest they've been to this day.
Yep.
That was January of 2000, 25 years ago. Not like I am scarred by it or anything.
In no way it affected me.
No.
Just a football game that I saw.
Just one of many. I don't remember all the specifics like it was yesterday. I don't remember writing in my notepad and how clean I was, either, you know, writing each play, you know, three and a punt space. Everyone was just punting three and out. It's a defensive struggle. I don't remember everything about it or anything. It's fine. My favorite Redskins team ever, man. 1999. But week one, and maybe I'm not taking it enough into account, it is completely irrelevant. Like, when I think about playing the Bucs versus playing the Rams, at no point in my thought is what happened when you played Tampa. And maybe I'm just not considering it enough. But with all the injuries, and I mean, Bucky Irving was not even involved, really. Like, both teams are just... That was a snapshot of what they would become months later. This is like years in football
parlance. Yeah, starters have become bench players. Trades have happened. I mean, Marshon Lattimore wasn't part of it then. Hopefully he's back and able to play now.
That's another thing. If they have Lattimore, and I was telling you right now, like, he's going to be 100% for that game, would that make you feel different? Because against the Bucs, who you'd rather play, Lattimore can just have Evans, and you could do a lot of other things in your secondary. Whereas against the Rams, there's still one guy unaccounted for, even if you have Lattimore.
Yeah. So just to clean that up, I'd rather play the Rams than the Bucs, but I don't feel good about either, right? I don't feel great, but I know what you meant.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the concern. I mean, there's the idea for me would be, I'd go, okay, let's do our best with Lattimore on one guy. Maybe it's Kupp, maybe it's Nacua, who's more physical, and I think that plays to Lattimore's strengths a little bit better. Do your best on him, and we'll bracket and slide and put everything else, all our other chips, in trying to double and sort of ruin Cooper Kupp's day as best I possibly can. But McVay's too good at getting those guys open, right? Like, he does the thing that I love, even when their offense isn't great, and there are times that it happens. I mean, again, they've struggled here at times over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. It's, if I'm going down, my best players get targets. And that would help me sleep at night. If I'm only going to score 13 points, it's not going to be because his version of Terry McLaurin had one target for an entire half. It's going to Nacua, it's going to Kupp, and we'll figure the rest out if we get more plays. I love that, but they've struggled at times.
Cliff Kingsbury said earlier today that he wants to be a head coach again. Which job would be good enough for him to leave working with Jaden Daniels to take it? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Got to remind everyone that we are going to be out and about tomorrow. Field Trip Friday after a respite for the holiday is back. We are going to broadcast live from Craft House in Fairfax. So please come out, spend the afternoon with us or some part of it. Get something to drink with some buddies, have lunch. This is Fairfax Corner.
Yes, we've been there before. This is a second time we're going back to Craft House. Fantastic. Plenty of room. Indoor, outdoor seating, a bunch of different food options, a high-quality establishment, if I may say.
Yeah, we packed the joint last time. It was a lot of fun. Tons of people enjoyed a little Friday pregame ahead of a big Commanders win. And so we're going back for Week 18 ahead of the Commanders and the Cowboys to close the season on Sunday. We'll be there from 2 to 6:30, broadcasting live, fellowship, food, drinks, football. We will see you tomorrow afternoon, Craft House, Fairfax, in Fairfax Corner. Big parking lots. You don't have to worry about parking at all. Going to be a lot of fun. Before we get to our double play at 3:45, got a little time here to talk Cliff Kingsbury. He was asked for the first time today at his weekly press conference about his future and about whether or not he is interested in being a head coach again. This is what Cliff Kingsbury had to say.
Do you want to be a head coach again? Yeah, I'm sure at some point. Yeah, at some point.
Do you plan to interview for jobs this year?
I won't comment on that, but yeah, we'll see how everything plays out, but I'm very happy here. Yeah, this has been an awesome place and has really helped me kind of rekindle my love for the sport.
And last one, but what did you learn from your first stint? What would you be looking for?
Yeah, I think the first one, I didn't know what I didn't know, really. Coming from college, I had bounced around on teams as a player, but not as a coach on any level. And so to come in there, I don't think I set the foundation the way I would do it. After watching DQ and how he set the foundation from day one, and it was, these are the standards, this is what we won't compromise, this is what we're going to be, I definitely could have done a better job of that. And kind of once you don't lay it out like that, it's hard to put it back in. You know, it's hard to kind of reset it. And I think that's where he's done such a great job. It's like, this is what we're going to be from day one. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. And the guys bought in, and, you know, he's led in an incredible way by doing that.
I wanted to go through the current openings and those openings that could come up and try to determine whether or not we think that job would be worth leaving Washington for. And if you get a really nice raise with a lot of money, this is a guy that's still making head coaching money from the Cardinals, oh, by the way, is it something that he would or should consider? The first obvious one is the Bears, who fired Matt Eberflus on November 29th. The Bears are terrible. This has been an embarrassing year for them, and they are 14-32 over three seasons. They have a bad ownership group that isn't very well respected. There are questions about who's running this search with Kevin Warren, their team president, and their general manager, Ryan Poles, who's actually on a warming seat. If not for that trade he made that landed the number one pick in Caleb Williams, he probably would be out of a job now, even though he's done some decent things with their roster over the last couple of years. But had a horrible offseason last year, where he stuck with Eberflus, where he bought in Shane Waldron, who they already fired, the offensive coordinator. Danny, Caleb Williams and Cliff Kingsbury were together at USC in his job before Washington. So whatever their relationship was, it would probably tell the story. We just don't know if it was great, if it was bad, if they love each other, if they don't. But if they're boys and he really liked working with him, it's hard to convince me that he wouldn't leave for the Bears job.
I think it's a really good job. To me, the downside of it is the division. There are three really good teams in that division who have combined for, 39 wins to this point over the course of this year. That's the uphill climb there, right? To me, it's not a talent issue with Chicago. It's a gross incompetence issue. I mean, you look at some of the timeout usage or lack thereof for Matt Eberflus, an incredibly winnable, easy, obvious moment. They got broken with that Hail Mary. They were 4-2 and should have won that game. The pass gets tipped, it goes to Noah Brown, and they haven't been able to get right since. They have a bunch of scapegoats that are going to be gone. I know I'm not there day-to-day in Chicago. I think Ryan Poles is pretty competent. Anybody that wheels and deals, looks in advance, has added picks, has used some of those to acquire some talent. I don't think it's a talent issue there in Chicago. I think it's the ownership level. I don't think it's as toxic as Snyder or anything like that. I don't think they're the pinnacle of competence either. But to me, I think Poles knows what he's doing. And
why didn't he address that offensive line with a rookie quarterback?
It's a great question. To me, the mistake, if it's a personnel one, would be that one, because that offensive line, I think, played decently the year before, probably fooling him, maybe with no false confidence. But to me, the mistake was Eberflus.
Yeah.
That to me is the mistake.
That's my next question. How do you stick with Eberflus when you've got 1-1 and every offensive mind in the league wants your gig?
Yeah, I thought that was...
It makes me have some tough questions about him as a GM.
Yeah, so to me... Again, because I happen to think he's pretty competent. I'm wondering if that wasn't his call, which is troubling anyway. I mean, there's no good answer there, right? Where you, like, to me, this is a clear mistake. There is a right and a wrong, and they chose the wrong side. His fault, someone else's fault, I don't know, but whoever it is probably still there.
I think if he gets an interview and it goes well and can get the Bears job, Kingsbury would leave for that job. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
I also think that they'll probably start with Ben Johnson of the Detroit Lions, although... One of the rumors that's been out there for a couple of years, and I know last year I'd heard this from a lot of people, is Ben Johnson wants some say on, or at least maybe to go in at the same time with the new general manager so that there's not a holdover who's kind of already there. And maybe because of that, the Bears situation wouldn't be as appealing to him because you've got a GM tenured in Poles who's picking you. You're not going in unison. Like what Dan Quinn has with Adam Peters is the dream. You come in together. Yes, he hired you, but everything they do, they kind of do as buddies. And I think that's what Ben Johnson and these young coaches typically want now. one of the rumors this weekend was that he might bring Lance Newmark with him if he goes somewhere and has the say to actually get a GM fired. And Lance Newmark, for those of you that don't know the name, you should, is the assistant GM here who came from Detroit and helps out Adam Peters, would know Ben Johnson, and that maybe Johnson and Newmark would be some package deal if Johnson gets his way where he could pick Newmark to be his GM, and then those two guys can work in unison at their next stop. How about the New Orleans Saints? I would tell you 18-25 over 3 years, kind of that fringe seven-ish win team every year. They fired Dennis Allen November 4th. I would tell you I think this is one of the worst jobs. Their quarterback situation, you're tied to Carr into next year. You don't really have the future guy on the roster. I think that's a terrible job, and if I'm Kingsbury, I would never take that.
Yeah, so, I mean, the usual caveats apply for me, that there are only so many of these jobs and you can't be too choosy. It's very rare you can be Ben Johnson, but on the spectrum of is that a good job or a bad job, it's bad.
Well, and on the spectrum of if you stay here, the floor is year two with Jaden Daniels with more talent around him.
You're in a good situation, yes.
You should theoretically be able to still have a good chance to get a highly sought-after job next year, too.
100%.
So you're not in a rush.
Right.
And because you've been a coach and you've already failed, you actually can't be in a rush because if you fail again, you're not going to get a third shot.
Yeah, and
you've got to be a little bit more choosy.
And as you already said, I think there's still some Arizona money coming in, you know, on the head coaching front. So you may not have, you can be a bit more choosy, and that may go away, honestly, if you sign a longer-term contract. I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but I can't imagine you can be paid in two places to be a head coach.
The Jets were the first team to hire a coach this year. They bounced Robert Saleh on October 8th. They're 20-36 over the last 4 years. Sounds like they're going to part ways with Aaron Rodgers, perhaps. Maybe even Davante Adams, depending on which reports you believed over the weekend. I just think they're a dumpster fire. Again, not a place, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I would consider.
I would not like that one. Because to me, they don't pick high. I think they're seventh at this point in the draft order. You know you've got a meddling, embarrassing owner. So let's say you see some of those stories about like the Madden ratings where he nixed a trade or, you know, was asking all sorts of weird questions. Let's say 40% of that's true. It's still awful. He's still a terrible owner, and that organization has not been able to get right. Again, that would not be one I would seek out.
Here's an interesting one that I think is actually a really good opening if it comes open, and I believe it will. Jacksonville. ESPN's Bill Barnwell ranked potential openings like 1 to 10 or whatever with the four that are already open. He ranked the Jaguars the number one opening this offseason because even though people like to beat up on Trevor Lawrence, you've got a guy who's played at a very high level at quarterback who even at his worst, like when he's the butt of jokes, is a serviceable starting quarterback, which is better than not having a QB and or the unknown of picking like seventh or whatever.
Right.
On top of that, you're in a very weak division and they have the number five overall pick. And if you go to Jacksonville, you're going to be able to also either have some say in or at least go in with a brand new general manager, like we're talking about,
right.
Peters and Quinn. All of those things make Jacksonville a potentially very good opening. Would, if you're Cliff Kingsbury and you interview for that job, is that something that would appeal to you?
Again, it all depends on his view of Lawrence, right? Because that's the make or break. But on paper, remember, they were the Texans before it was cool.
Yeah.
They were the team that jumped up out of nowhere despite after being a joke with half a season of Urban Meyer, you know, kicking kickers and all sorts of other weird nonsense where he just wasn't qualified for the gig. And they jumped up and won 9 games, won a playoff game with that huge comeback, and were a quote-unquote disappointment last year, again, despite only winning 9 games. They've fallen apart. That's a good gig.
Here's another one that I think would be fascinating. New England. New England has a ton of cap space. They have a number one overall pick right now in this coming draft. And Drake May looks like a franchise quarterback, looks like a stud. Now, I don't know what Kingsbury's eval of him would be, and again, that's where you'd have to start.
Right.
If he thinks highly of him, it's a lot different than if he doesn't believe in him, or if he feels like he's a fit for what he'd want to run. But I'd imagine, because you know he ran some air raid in college at North Carolina.
He can throw it and move around. I bet you he fits.
It might be, right?
Yeah.
But they have not fired Jerod Mayo. There's still a question as to whether or not they will. I just think it'd be malpractice if they didn't with May and the ability to attract an offensive mind, and the year they just had with Mayo kind of getting exposed as not being ready. But that said, Danny, I would put that in the Bears column and the Jacksonville column as possibly worth leaving for if I'm Kingsbury.
It's more intriguing than you would think. You go, what? They're terrible. Well, here's what you could do. You mentioned the cap space. You've got a quarterback. You hold that number one pick for ransom, and you stockpile. Right away, you could have one of the great, you know, roster makeovers in recent memory, where you've got extra draft picks, you've got a huge free agent crop. But if you're able to sell and share that vision with the GM, then absolutely that's a more intriguing gig than you would think. And again, the division, obviously Buffalo's really good. Anybody else? Does Miami scare you? And the Jets are a tire fire. That's not a terrible place to go.
There's always a surprise here and there, like where the gig becomes open, nobody's anticipating. You know, something crazy happens. McVay goes to TV with the Rams, and you get to go to L.A. with Stafford. Or, Todd Bowles retires in Tampa Bay, and you get to go work with Baker Mayfield and that regime. You know, something wacky could go down. But of the stuff that it seems like it might happen, those are the few gigs that I could say are worth maybe considering walking to if you're Kingsbury. Get you a double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing at the top of the hour on our first show of 2025. It's Grant and Danny. In 12 minutes, we will blitz around the Beltway on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Should remind everybody, even though it's not Tuesday, we have not had a full-powered show since Tuesday, so it's a Commander's Survivor Day. Now, this is as much a formality as there's ever been, if I'm going to be honest with you, but you can go vote at facebook.com/Grant and Danny. There are three players left with one immune, so Terry McLaurin is on to the finals already. So you're just deciding between Jaden Daniels and Frankie Louvu. You got to send one home. That's all you're doing. You're voting who is going to the finals to meet Terry McLaurin in a Week 18 showdown. Is it going to be Jaden Daniels or Frankie Louvu against Terry McLaurin? And then there were three.
I just want to congratulate Frankie Louvu on a great run. I just want to let him know you did awesome.
That's my guy.
No one got nothing against you, number four. Hell of a season. Hell of a season.
I got my brother tickets to the game on Sunday night against the Falcons, and his big mission when he got there was to go find a Frankie Louvu jersey in the team store. He wanted a black Louvu. They didn't sell any black jerseys in the team store, so he had to settle for a burgundy Louvu.
So I've actually heard this from people, like when they were which that, by the way, great sign. Somebody actually wanted to talk about it at some point. We got playoff games, by the way. We have playoff stuff to talk about. Cowboys this week and the whole nine yards. But there were a number of parents who were asking me, like I knew something that, well, they didn't know that I didn't know anything. But they're like, hey, where can we find these jerseys or what for kids? And some of the folks who had expressed some interest in
the new gear.
Did
you see
all the
videos of the kids opening up Jaden Daniels jerseys on Christmas?
It's a real thing, but apparently nobody can find the black jerseys anywhere. And I'm wondering what that means. I want some people that are in that world to explain to me what that means.
I think they're sold out. Kids love them, by the way.
Is it a sold out thing, or they don't make that many things because they're not going to continue them? I don't know. What does it mean?
No, I would.
Nothing.
I mean, the reason they weren't at the team store is that they were sold out.
Oh, I see.
But it could be all kinds of stuff. But I think that was the specifics, like for my little situation with my brother. But yeah, I don't know. I know that kids don't mind that black is not the color of the Redskins.
Yeah, they don't care at all.
They're not that interested in that. The black and yellow Steelers looking jersey is definitely for them.
The Arizona State alternate.
The way we play is not for everybody. Well, the way you guys dress is not for people who remember the Redskins when you wear the All Blacks.
Yeah, that jersey is now iconic because it was the jersey we won the Hail Mary game in.
That's a good point.
It's always going to be remembered for being the jersey that they wore in that game.
It's actually a great point. Like, as much as I'd like to, and I like how that jersey looks, but I want to go back to just the real colors and the real jerseys of this organization. I keep saying Commanders is not going anywhere because of the wins and the season and the Daniels highlights.
The merch, man.
I mean, the gear is also kind of burned in immortality as well. You're always going to see that highlight in a sense. All right, it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer, stopping for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Let's go over to air traffic control and our guy Ryan Clary. So Clary was just telling us during the break, he's like, guys, I had the fattest day I've ever had. And he started to give us the details, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
We got to just talk about this.
Save this for the air, because this is, I already don't believe this. So give the people the deets on the fattest day you've had in a long time.
Yeah, so this was on New Year's Eve day, so December 31st. I woke up, I was a little sick, I was also a little hungover. I was like, you know what, let's get ourselves a bagel. So Uber Eats, bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, no problem, do that all the time. And then I'm like, you know what?
So you live in an apartment, so do you have to walk down and get it somewhere?
No. Like, you can give them, like, the entry code, and they come up to whichever floor that you're on, and they'll knock on your door.
Is that frowned upon?
I'll say that is
terrible for the driver.
Yeah, it's nubs.
I hope you tip.
Of course I do. Handsomely. Yeah. No, of course. Of course I always do. Actually, there's a story I forgot within this, but... So, order my bacon, egg, and cheese. Eat it. It's great. And I'm like, you know what? I could use, like, a sweet bagel. So I got a blueberry bagel with strawberry cream cheese.
Same place?
So these are separate orders, by the way.
Yeah, separate order.
So roughly, when did you eat the bacon, egg, and cheese?
Probably like 10 a.m.
When did you eat the next bagel?
Probably like 10:45.
Okay.
And here's the thing, is that it was the same driver coming back.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
It was so embarrassing.
What did
like,
he say?
Hey.
Like,
hey.
I literally just like ignored, just acted like I had no idea who this guy was. I was like, oh, thank you, and like just got my bag and just went back in.
That is tough.
Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing.
That is shame.
There's a little bit of shame there.
That's the rare shameful Uber Eats order.
It was so tough. I totally forgot about that part.
Yeah. At least it wasn't a big bag of McDonald's.
He's like, hey, man.
Oh, just wait. So... as the day goes on, I'm like, you know what? I'm still hungry. Like, so I made some buffalo chicken wraps and, you know, already pre-made those, whatever.
What time is it?
This was probably like 1:30 in the day.
Okay.
Like, you know, it was a little lunch or whatever you want to say. Day goes on. I'm like, you know what? I still have a sweet tooth. Order South Block and an acai bowl. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be good. This will be just fine. No. Around, let's say 6 o'clock, I was like, a McFlurry sounds good.
Okay.
Let's get a McFlurry. I got a McFlurry, and I got French fries.
Yeah, okay.
The French fries will be your dinner.
It's a good treat.
McFlurry is your dessert.
Yeah. About an hour goes by. It's 8 o'clock. I'm watching football. It's Boise State, Penn State. I'm like, am I not going to have another McFlurry to watch this game? Of course I am. Order another McFlurry.
Same McDonald's.
Same McDonald's.
Same person delivered?
It was not the same person.
So how long after you got your McFlurry order do you order the next one?
I probably waited like an hour and a half.
Okay.
So this is probably like two McFlurries. Oh, and we're just getting started. Then halftime comes. I could use another McFlurry. McDonald's is going to close at 10.
Three McFlurries is a little bit ridiculous.
That's a lot to
like,
deal with.
And you're skinny and I'm not, so I shouldn't tell you anything. But, like, just three of something back to back to back is just absurd.
I don't know what it was, but I was craving
McFlurry. It was hitting right, as they say.
It was hitting right.
Yeah.
And we're not done. I then ordered a medium French fry and a snack size at M&M McFlurry. A snack size M&M
McFlurry. You got a fourth McFlurry?
I got a fourth McFlurry.
With a second French fry. So four separate McDonald's orders.
Yep.
Over the span of basically 4 hours.
Yep. On top of also having two bagels deliveries in that same morning and the acai bowl, I had seven Uber Eats deliveries?
You probably spent $100 just in fees.
Guy, I spent like $150.
Counting the food.
I mean, yes, counting the food.
But I'm saying in fees and tips, you probably spent like
another $100,
And it was like, I remember going to bed that night just being like, number one, oh my God, my wallet's felt that. And number two, just like, I was like ashamed.
It's the shame.
I was so ashamed of myself. Yeah. I was like, you have worked your butt off. You've done everything right.
No,
I
did not leave the apartment all day. New Year in style. Let's go into 2025.
Yeah, that was your Fat Tuesday, right? Like the day before?
Yeah.
By the way, the YouTube chat is having a field day with this. The 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. My favorite comment is a guy goes, oh, I've been there. I know about this. It's called the Munchies. Oh, man. Everyone's like, what is he thinking? What is he doing? The guy's like, oh, I know about this.
Oh, I know this one.
Dude, that's a grind for you.
It was a lot. Like,
Did you feel sickly laying down in bed?
I mean, you could ask Linnell. I worked with him yesterday.
Because he was there in bed with you?
Well, no, he was not there. But yesterday, like, when I got into work, I was, like, in really bad shape.
Yeah.
Like, I wore, like, flip-flops. I had shorts on. I had, like, a thin sweatshirt. Like, I was not good. I felt awful. Awful.
3.5 McFlurry orders. But just, like, think about it. It's not like you ordered 3.5 and put them in the freezer.
It's the separate times.
It's like chain smoking. It's like you're about to run out. See, you're like, I can't take this last bite until this driver gets here. You're just waiting for the next McFlurry to be handed to you.
I mean, that... we've all had fat days, like days where you're like, this is ridiculous.
That's a hell of a day.
That's a great fat
My fat days are like when I've got to like pour out the McDonald's cup in the cup holder from lunch so that I could toss it in the back to make room for the Burger King cup or the Chick-fil-A cup for the dinner that I just got. Like those days, which are way more common than I'd like them to be. That's a fat day. But three McFlurries at home.
Guy, four.
Three. Four. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Four separate orders that contain Good McFlurry God. Substance.
Wow. Unbelievable. I salute you, sir. Well done. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Beltway Blitz is next. Remember, we're out and about. Ryan will be there. You can talk to him about his big fat day accomplishment at the Craft House in Fairfax at Fairfax Corner tomorrow, 2 to 6:30. We will be live. We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight.